So continuation, we can say, with some of the themes that we've had in the previous weeks. Jesus telling parables, and again, this the image of the vineyard is in the central focus of our readings, the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the gospel. The responsorial psalm tells us that the Lord took the vineyard, took a vine from Egypt and planted it in the promised land. Recalling that great exodus when the chosen people who had been enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years were brought free and given the new land. And the notion, the image of the Israel, the people of God being a vineyard was a common one. And it's an intimate one as well. I mean, maybe some of us have gardens and we do a little bit of earthwork in that sense, but most of us don't. But if you've ever like been on a farm or around that agricultural reality, there's a close intimacy that the landowner has with his land. I mean, literally getting your fingers dirty as you get into the dirt. There's a close connection. And the chosen people of Israel had always envisioned themselves and wrote about themselves as that intimate relationship with God. And so when Jesus began his parable that we heard this evening, hopefully we heard the direct connection to the first reading. So when those first hearers of this parable of Jesus, those who were good students of the scriptures, would have automatically gone back to Isaiah chapter 5, to this great prophecy of the care and the intimacy that this friend built this vineyard. And the details of putting a hedge and a wall, giving it a clear definition. So you knew where the vineyard was and what was not in the vineyard. The chosen people saw themselves that way, clearly distinct from the rest. Then he built a wall to oversee the entire property. Unlike some religions or some ideas of God, the God of the chosen people was caring for them, was intimately involved in their life, was there looking over them. Then he dug and provided a wine press, which means that the grapes weren't produced just for a salad or a dessert, but those grapes were produced for a purpose. Those grapes were meant to make wine. And in a time and a location where fresh water wasn't as readily available as it is to us today, where the water wasn't maybe as purified and maybe contaminated, to have another source of drink, one that was fermented, helped the health of those who were drinking. But we also know there's an intoxicant in the wine. It's a sin to get to the point of drunkenness. But what St. Thomas Aquinas says is that we should drink to the point of hilarity. That wine brings out the life in a meal, in a community. That there's something special about wine. So the landowner in that first reading from Isaiah 5 was expecting that. Was expecting those good grapes to be produced so that they could produce good wine. But he found instead sour grapes. Rotten fruit. That those who were charged with working the land to produce the fruit failed to do so. And so they lost that vineyard. The landowner allowed that vineyard to go to waste. This is what Christ is referring to in the gospel when he says that they sent out all of those workers to gather the harvest, and then they were killed and beaten and abused. Because time and time again, we know the story of salvation history, how unfaithful and idolatrous the people of God had become. And the patient heart of God the Father sent patriarchs, sent prophets, sent priests and kings, trying to share his heart with them, to reconcile, to bring them back in so that they could once again produce the good fruit. But time and time again, they were rejected. And those who did the rejecting are the ones who are hearing this parable. And it's pretty clear. If we recall from last week, the chief priests and the elders were able to decipher the parable to Jesus. And then Jesus said, because you refuse to repent, the worst people you can imagine, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, will get to heaven before you. Today, once again, the chief priests and the elders were able to interpret, decipher this parable. And again, Jesus says, because you refuse to repent, the vineyard will be taken from you. You will lose your standing. You will lose your status. And your vineyard will be given to others who will be able to produce fruit. Christ is reminding these people of what's at stake. And he's calling them, even in this parable, he's calling them to repentance, trying to shock them with the reality of final judgment, that it was not too late, that the cornerstone, the stone that they have been rejected, can become the cornerstone in their life if they so choose. Jesus says at the end of that parable, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. If you go back and read, they had produced fruit, but they refused to give it back to the landowner. They seemed to have forgotten who they were in the story. And that's what's at risk for each one of us. That oftentimes we forget who we are. Maybe we've better say we forget whose we are. That we belong to the Lord, and we're simply tenants, we're simply farmers in his vineyard, and he expects us to return to him everything that he has given us and more. But oftentimes we try to hoard our stuff. And we refuse to give back to him what is his due. We risk that final judgment. It will be given to those who produce its fruit. The right fruit. The fruit that Christ expects. When we forget who we are in the eyes of Christ, sometimes we forget the fruit that we are expected to produce. We become self-absorbed, thinking that we're self-sufficient. These men thought, we can kill this man's son, because by doing so, then we will be rich, that we will inherit his inheritance. I will take what belongs to someone else and keep it for myself. Christ is expecting us to produce the fruit in order to be given to others. So whose fruit are we producing? What kind of fruit are you producing? Have you responded to this gospel call, first of repentance, and then of fidelity to the message of the gospel? This is where Christ is calling us today. And we can maybe go to that second reading from St. Paul as an examination. Am I producing fruit or not? How do I know? Am I anxious? St. Paul gives one of the most challenging challenges in the scriptures. Have no anxiety at all. How? Right? I mean, like, really? Really, Paul? You really mean this? I mean, no anxiety at all? It's a tough one. But he says, make your request known to the Lord with prayer, with praise, with joyful hearts lifted up to the Lord. Make your request known with petition and with thanksgiving. Ultimate thanksgiving is what we do on the altar each day at Mass, the Holy Eucharist. With the proper orientation of our lives, directed wholly and totally to the Lord Jesus. This is how we have no anxiety, because we entrust ourselves to Him who has entrusted Himself to us. And when we do this, this beautiful promise, the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? And oftentimes we produce the wrong fruit because we're trying to get that peace from something else, someone else, somewhere else. So finally, brethren, if there's anything that is good and true and honorable, if there's anything of excellence, think of these things. So do we dwell upon these things? What kind of entertainment? What kind of conversations? What do we do with our life? Do we permit things that are not true, that are not honorable, that are not just, that are not pure, that are not lovely, that are not gracious? This is why we're anxious, because we don't follow this simple invitation from St. Paul. The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. This is promise is readily available for each one of us this evening. We simply need to surrender our life once again to Jesus. Stop grasping for our own life, hoarding our own things. But as a true tenant in the vineyard of the Lord, produce its fruit and give it away so that we can produce that wine which brings life to the world. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all. Bring your petitions to the Lord, trusting that when you do, as faithful sons and daughters, the fruit you produce, the fruit that you experience, will be that peace that surpasses all understanding.